weeknight from 10 p.m. Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Lee.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night, 10 till 1. It's going to be awesome.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Weeknights from 10
on Talk Radio.
He is our friend.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
This is insane. It's a track from the new album by The Who. I'm going to tell you what Kath said during that song.
No, don't.
When he was doing the... Kath went, imagine that all over your balls. And I did. That was incredible. Thank you, Paul. I don't remember who it was who recommended that. That was absolutely amazing. That was Stimhorn and Trio Hatala. Now, I've noticed there's a version here that's the same song. It's got the lyrics on there. I wonder if I can sing along. It's like a karaoke version. 0344 499 1000. Hang on.
So it's... Blowing-de-o.
Oh. Wobbin-de-de-de, blowing-de-o. Da. Da. Blowing-de-o. Wobbin' diddy day, blowin' day, yo! Day. No! Day. Lowin' day, oh, ah. Lowin' day, oh! Day, oh, day, oh! Day, oh! Day, oh, wobbin' diddy day, yo! You have a go, you come and have a go, you come and have a go, you come and have a go. Actual karaoke version.
Right, okay, I'm in.
Alright, you ready?
Yeah, you can keep your headphones
on. You're gonna wanna
hear
this
close. Wabi
Loin
Day O.
Does
Day.
Oh Day. Do it seriously.
Loin Day O. Wabi Loin Day O.
Day.
Here we go, now it gets hard.
Oh,
I'm wondering, we like to open our rabbit hole shows with a song. Probably going to be Rhinestone Cowboy tomorrow. But London, Sunday, December the 14th, I am so tempted. There's 25 tickets left for the London show, December the 14th.
There might be some more after that.
25 tickets left, right? IanLee.com/event. I'm so tempted to learn that for the next one.
Wobbin day o.
Hello, line two, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hello.
Hello there.
What, is it actually... Are you Ian, are you?
Yeah.
All right, okay. It's reference... So I got confused then.
Don't be confused.
It's reference your George Foreman section earlier on, and I'd like to start a segment. Celebrity endorsements you'd love to see but never will.
There we go. This sounds like a stand-up routine. I am in.
Right, okay. I'll come up with a few, but I don't know whether they're PC or not, but here you go, it's up to you. Okay. I'd like to see Sam Smith do an advert for Confused.com.
He's not confused. They are not confused.
Okay. Jeremy Kyle, Vanish. Anthony Joshua, Silent Night Mattresses. Prince Harry's, McVitie's Ginger Nuts. Gillian Tile for?
It's a call from 1982.
I wouldn't open with that. Let's go to line three. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Wobbin-dibbin-dibbin-o.
Hello, line three.
Hello.
Can we do some yodeling on my bear?
On your bear? Your bear ass?
No, on air.
Do it.
Wobbin-dibbin-dibbin-o.
Pathetic.
Oh.
Absolutely pathetic. And they put the phone down. That was awful.
You destroyed him, that's why.
Awful. Awful yodeling. Okay, here's an idea for a TV show. The Voice, but yodeling.
Mm-hmm. The Vodolohee-hoos.
Okay, here's an idea for a TV show. The X Factor, but it's yodeling. Saw a great treat the other day. Idea for a film. Toy Story 5. line one, you're on the wireless.
Ian, Pear Sight or Logan?
Is Pear Sight Logan?
Yeah, which one?
Sorry?
KSI or Logan, they're going to fight, aren't they?
Oh, God. I hope that they both deliver the final punch to each other simultaneously and we never have to hear from those Muppets either again. I don't know, don't care.
Are you jealous of them?
Of what?
That they're getting all the money. That's why you both want to hear from them.
No, I just think they're knobs. I just think that Logan guy in particular, he's the guy that thought it was funny to film people who had taken their own lives, yeah? Don't like
that's
him.
The one, yeah.
Don't like the act. Don't think it's funny. Don't think it's clever. Think it's mean. Think it's unpleasant. Think he's a dark force and we need less dark forces in the entertainment business.
Well, I agree with that, Logan, but I quite like KSI.
Okay, I don't know who he is. I wish him the best of luck. I hope he wins then.
Yeah.
Great call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I was lying. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone. I don't really know anything. I don't like that Logan guy. I think he's thoroughly unpleasant.
Get why you'd want to watch two amateurs boxing.
I get that. Ricky Gervais and Grant Bovey. Did Grant Bovey die?
Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
Let me just double check, but yeah, I think so.
I didn't get the thing. Are you jealous of them?
Because of the money.
Oh. Well, then you might
have... Hang on, he's still alive, is he? I thought he died.
I thought Grant Bovey died. Well, then you might as well just say... Like, my boss has probably got more money than me. You might as well say, were you jealous of your boss? So anyone who's got more money than you, are you jealous of them?
No.
No? I mean, I could certainly spend that money if I had it.
Do you know what, though? It says a lot about the questioner.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really, really does. It really does. That they put so much value in that. Hey, listen, I'd love a few more quid. I'm having to get a new bathroom and I can afford it, but I'm having to tighten my belt a bit and stuff. The guy came in and ruined my bathroom and it's something I thought I could put off for 2 or 3 years till I had a few more quid. I've got to get done now. But poor me, you know, I'm lucky I've got a bathroom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I could certainly do with a few more quid, but then so could everybody. Alan Sugar could do with a few more quid, you know, in his mind, I'm sure, you know, so, but I'm very, very comfortable. I'm doing all right and I'm in a very, very fortunate position. So am I jealous of, a couple of kids who are, I would imagine, are multimillionaires? No. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello there,
caller. You're live on Talk Radio, the erection station of the nation.
I wondered if I could have a go at this reverse talk, please.
You certainly can, sir. Let me take my headphones off. Let me get the reverse talk. I'm using a simple thing called reverse talk. It's an app. We're going. You ready? On 3, 2, 1, okay? 3, 2, 1.
M, et a, ui, od, iwa.
Okay, no, I couldn't work that out at all. M.
Me?
No, M is not me. Me is Eam.
Oh.
I think you might have balls this up. Let's have a go. Here we go. That's that. Hang on. Does I put?
M. Etta.
I don't know which way's forwards or backwards anymore.
Sorry, that was very poor.
Come back when you've tried again. Practice a bit more. Practice a bit more. Once you get it, you get it. Once you get it, you get it. And I changed what I was saying in that thing about Logan Paul. Changed what I was saying because it's been pointed out to me several times now. I was going to say he filmed people who'd committed suicide.
Yeah.
And we had, I think it was a mother, and I can't remember your name, and I do apologise, 3 or 4 weeks ago, who didn't call me out for it, but her son had taken his own life. And she said that the phrase committed suicide hurt her, was painful for her to hear because it implied something that wasn't there. So it's been in my head not to. And then we mentioned it last night or the night before, and someone tweeted me again saying, try not to say committed suicide, because it implies weakness and criminality and stuff like that. And so I'm really trying to change my language to, instead of saying so-and-so committed suicide, so-and-so took their own life. So I'm really trying. But it's early days of me making a real conscious effort to make that change. So if you hear me saying committed suicide, feel free to very politely just tap me on the shoulder and say, maybe you could rephrase that slightly differently. Because right. I don't want to cause offence to anybody who's been
I've heard people saying died by suicide. Is that all right?
Well, I think things are going to be different people are going to have different things. Possibly. Let us know your thoughts on that, please. I know to some of you will be going, what? Well, that's nothing. Well, that hopefully that means that your life hasn't been touched by someone taking their own life. But it's just, it popped up again yesterday. I thought, oh no, I was trying to log that before when it was mentioned to me and I forgot. So if you hear me say committed suicide, very politely, if you feel up to it, just give me a little tap and go.
But you're right. The people who say, oh, don't make any difference, we know what you mean, are people who are not touched by it.
Yeah.
And the way I'm trying to learn is by listening to people who are affected by stuff.
Exactly. And there will be some people as well where that tragedy has touched their lives, and they'll be like, I'm not fussed either way. Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't make me feel any better either way.
And that's exactly. And I understand that. But for those who have, two people, certainly one of whom their life has been touched by that awful, tragic sadness, to kind of point that out, I'm more than happy to try and make that. To learn, as Kath said, this is what we want to do. We want to learn. Let's take one more, then we'll take a break. Let's go to line 9. 9, you're on the wireless.
December the 14th in London. Are you going to learn that song? Because if you are, I'll do it with you.
Sorry?
You're not invited, mate.
What is this? You're not part of the show.
You said if someone will do it with you, you'll learn it. Are you going to commit to it and learn it? If you are, I will learn it.
I didn't say that at all.
You said it was there.
I did not say if someone will do it with me, I'll learn it. I didn't say that.
Well, challenge thrown down then.
A challenge not accepted. See, get your feet off the stage, get your pint off the edge of the stage, and shout your face. I'm doing the show with my bird.
How long have you been in show business?
20.
Get your feet off the stage.
22 years. I will be doing it. I might be doing it with my onstage partner, Catherine Boyle, but that's it. We'll be
got the minerals to do it?
I might have the minerals, or I might get bored of the idea. This is my problem, caller, is I come up with great ideas, and then about 20 minutes later, I get bored, and I'm kind of happy with just saying, I had the idea.
Exactly. Yeah, the New Zealand place name, have you ever learned it? I've been using it for 15 years. Have you ever learned it?
Learn what?
I can't even say it now.
Yeah, you can't even say it now, is it?
Hey, isn't it funny how that became a battle of who's got the biggest balls?
My balls is huge! Actually, I don't know if my balls are huge. I don't know. Have a look at my balls.
No, thank you. I don't think size matters when it comes to balls, really.
I don't know what is normal. In terms of ball size.
Do they fit in your pants?
Yeah.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
If you come into tomorrow night's show, stick around. We always stick around afterwards and take pictures if you want pictures. We'll be selling the 7-inch single, £20 a pop. It cost us a fortune to make, so if you want it, it's there. And you're very welcome. If you can't make it tomorrow, we will be streaming it. I'm not sure if we're going to do it on Twitch or Periscope yet. Maybe Twitch. Probably on Twitch. Sunday night, round about 8, sometime between 8 and 9, it's going to start. And we're going to stay up all night if we have to. We're going to have a Call of Duty Modern Warfare sesh. Yeah, man. And I think you can play on any console or I've got it on PlayStation. I think I need to get like a code from Activision so that we can play together. I'll have a look at it on Sunday. Sunday night, twitch.tv/IanLee, about 8, half 8, depends when the kids go home. We'll have a Call of Duty Modern Warfare session. We're just going to have a private little game. Friends of the show can play. Come and join us. I'm hoping we can get maybe 8 or 16 of us even playing it together. And you can watch it. You don't have to have the game. If you just want to come and watch, it'd be me. David Babcock's going to be playing. I'm going to try and block Ollie. That was an arsehole last night, but I don't know if I can. So it should be a lot of fun. Busy weekend, guys. The show, the fun don't stop. The fun don't stop. Let's go to line one. One, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hi there, Ian. It's Liam from Brighton.
Hello, Liam from Brighton. How's you doing, man?
Good, man. I haven't spoken to you guys in a while, but I tuned in today because we're coming to see your show tomorrow.
The
Carolina Brunswick.
The Carolina Brunswick is the place to be. I think the doors open at about 7:15. Come in, come and get it while it's hot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. Yeah, that was about it, really. I just wanted to check in because I hadn't phoned in for a while.
Nice one, man. Well, make sure you come and say hello and introduce yourself to us and remind us who you are, because it would be nice to put a face to the voice and hand in hand, brother.
You played my band on the radio a couple of times before.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember you. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I remember you. I'm just saying tomorrow, say hello. I'm Liam the singer, because I'll forget.
Yeah.
And Kath will elbow me in the ribs.
And I will remember.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember playing your band. We played the video. Yeah, we had a look at
hands
that.
Hands in pockets.
The band split up, am I right?
Yeah.
Scumbags.
That's a shame.
Go solo. Yeah. Go solo.
Well, I'm bringing my partner as well. She's never heard the show before. She's a bit nervous. What can we expect from the show?
More swearing.
Yeah, very. It's like Blue. It's Blue version of this.
Excellent.
See if you're saying that at the end of the show. So what's funny, we do a show. So the show's about two hours, between 90 minutes and 2 hours. And we have an interval in the middle, right? It's always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some people don't come back from the interval and you can't help but think, God, what did we do wrong? What were they expecting? Why did they not come back? Did they have an emergency or did they hate us?
Maybe I think they all had emergencies, to be honest.
I think
they did.
I think a lot of emergencies.
All right, Liam, well, come and say hello tomorrow night, mate.
Well, do. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, man. Looking forward to it as well. Looking forward to meet you at last. Let's go to line 2.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. You all right?
Yeah, I'm pretty decent. So I was wondering if I could tell a horror story and see what you think.
Yes, mate, you can do. Let me get some spooky music. Hang on.
Baby!
That's the wrong thing. Hang on a second. Let me get some spooky music.
Right.
Hang on. Stay there.
Let's set the scene.
Some spooky. Here we go.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's bloody man.
No.
I know it sounds funky, but a human was made because an alien done it with a monk.
No. 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 Yes, go.
Alright, so this is a true story.
Yeah, of course.
Happened to me a couple of years ago. So I'm just lying in my bed. It's probably about 12 at night. And then, I hear some footsteps on the landing in the side. I think it's nothing. I think it's just a pipe. And I'll tuck myself further into bed, snuggle down, and the footsteps start getting closer, and I feel like a cold hand on my forehead and like a pain in my chest, and the cupboard door starts slamming, like open and closed, my lights turn on, no one's there, so I lock myself in my bath, and so I'm seeing my bath,
You lock yourself in your bath?
No, in the bathroom.
Okay.
That's where I closed the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so I do that.
Yeah.
And then the lights just turn off. I was like, sitting on the toilet. I feel like a nonce because I'm just like...
You felt like a nonce?
Gosh.
Wow. That escalated quickly. You felt like a nonce. Wow. Okay. No, all right.
I just said that because I was like, I should look for a word.
Yeah, and the word nonce sprang to mind. The psychologist would have a field day with that, but let's not dwell. Carry on.
I'm not actually a nonce, but I was just
okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah, we're glad we've cleared that up.
You can feel like one without being one.
Exactly.
I was just sitting there in the dark, trousers down, because I was just like,
oh, so you were scared, but also horny? Like a nonce?
I was on the toilet. I was like, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on. You ran into the bathroom because you were scared and you thought, while I'm in here?
No, it's just when I get nervous, you know, it's just like bowel movements.
So. It just comes out. You just can't control it. Okay,
I got you.
I got you.
Yeah, well, and then that's the end of the story, because I just turned the lights back on, and then I had, like, loads of bruises on my chest.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not true.
This is traumatic.
No, it is true.
Okay.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Is it number one or number two?
Number two, I wouldn't go like trousers fully down for number one.
Hey, listen, not judging, mate.
Do you never sit down sometimes for a number one?
I mean, like, if I'm like really tired,
you got to sit down for a number one. What about a number three?
I can't say I've experienced one of those.
How old are you?
15.
Yeah. Oh, you will.
This time.
You will. You will. Got a couple of years yet to go, son. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Gosh. Well, I'm spooked. So here's the lazy clickbait, phone bait argument I've been hearing for the last 24 hours. I've been seeing it a lot on Twitter, and I've heard some really lazy phone-in radio hosts do this, but a lot of it is on Twitter. So the BBC, along with ITV, and I think Channel 4 are joining at some point, have launched a streaming service, right? It's all the rage, BritBox. And by the way, you'll see it's already started to happen. A lot of stuff that was on Netflix and Prime is gone because Disney is starting their own channel. So all the Disney stuff is going from Netflix and the BBC stuff is going to go because they're going to... And also, here's another thing. I read somewhere that... New TV series on Netflix, right? Most of them get cancelled after season two. Because it's all about new subscriptions. And people aren't going to subscribe for season three of something. So, God, I'm not going to play catch up. So you get a lot of subscriptions for season one of this show, season two of this show, and then the subscriptions dip. Anyway. So this BritBox, right? I think it's $5.99 a month, and it's... an extensive but not complete back catalogue of BBC's. All the Doctor Who stuff. All I really know is that all the Doctor Who stuff that is available is there.
And did you say also it's a collaboration with Channel 4?
ITV are in at the moment. I think Channel 4 are joining later next year, okay. I think.
So, right.
I think.
Because that was part of the deal, wasn't it, for the new licence fees, that they did more with the...
Yeah.
They gave more of a chance to the commercial.
All the lazy people, right, they're so lazy, have gone, well... I paid TV license and now they want to charge me again. Excuse me, but I've paid a TV license and they want me to pay again for the same stuff. They can get lost. But I bet all of those people that have complained about that have got the full Only Fools and Horses DVD box set.
Faulty Towers.
Here's the thing, right? Once the stuff's on the telly, it's gone. Right. And for years, the BBC have sold videos and have sold DVDs of stuff. And you go and buy your Doctor Who box set, your 40 Towers box set. For years, that has been the thing. And no one has gone in to Smith's with Only Fools and Horses under their arm going, I really begrudge paying £10.99 for this set of videos because I've paid for this already. But God damn it, I want to see in full through that bar. No one has at any point complained about that. And surely this streaming service is just an extension of that. It's not quite the same as buying a DVD, because you don't get to kind of hold it and physically, you know, but it works out significantly cheaper than a DVD. So all these all you lazy people on Twitter, you lazy people phoning up radio shows.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
As is often the way with Call Straight to Air, which is what we're doing tonight. If you're waiting for the question, there isn't one. There isn't really a theme tonight. We just kind of, everyone I think is a little bit, I don't know, I'm really tired. I know you're really tired. I can see John's really tired. I think everyone's tired. Strange week. I think part of it is the strangeness of having a general election in the winter, in the run up to Christmas. Guy Fawkes, we're running up to Christmas now. We've done those things. Christmas is the next thing.
Yeah.
And there's all this talk of a general election. Hasn't been one, I think, was it the 1920s? About 100 years since the last general election in the winter. So maybe that's why there's a strange vibe going on. That these are the sort of conversations and arguments that should be going on, you know, in warm spring evenings. And it feels very weird. Anyway, I'm in a weird kind of headspace. So, we just thought we'd do a straight-to-air show. Let some of that steam out of your brain. Release the pressure valve. You want to phone up and sing silly songs backwards, you can. You want to phone up, you want to make a serious point, you can often do. Whatever you want to do. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Hello, line one.
Right.
Yep.
Shemesh, I wanted to call in. I want to ask you a question.
Why do I get the feeling it's going to be a really dull question, or it's going to be a rude question? Hang on.
It's not really all dull. Okay, my question is, what would you rather fight, a snake or a bear?
Well, a snake, obviously.
Why?
Well, because I've killed snakes before. I've never killed a bear.
Yeah, but they're really quick. And some of them are venomous. Some of them, you bite them, you're paralysed, and then they just kill you.
Right.
That's
okay.
It.
Well, okay, as I said, if you and your friend in the background listen, now you're taking turns to phone in. I've killed snakes before. I have never killed a bear. I would struggle. I know what to do to kill a bear. I've never put it into practice. Whereas I have put into practice killing several snakes before, and I've never been bitten.
Well, what do you mean? How would you kill a snake?
I'm not going to tell you.
Why?
Because I want you to be bitten by a snake.
That's really rude.
I think it is rude, yeah, but it's fair.
You presented this scenario, to be fair.
But I didn't ask for to be bitten by a snake, I was just asking a question.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, I want you to be bitten by a snake.
Well, that's a bit rude. I'm just asking a question. I don't know what gets you angry, Ian.
Well, I'm literally not getting angry.
Yeah, I'm just asking a question.
I know. Are you going to take this conversation any further, or are we just going to hang on the I was just asking a question?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So, do you think that you would actually have a good chance against a bear or not?
I know what to do. I just haven't put it into practice. So, yeah, I would say 70-30 in my favour, yes.
Rick? Bears are quite big and strong, Ian. Don't think you understand.
Why do you doubt every... Listen, you've asked me the question. I've told you the answer. Why do you doubt everything I say?
Because, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, you know?
You're not playing it very well.
Okay, so I apologise, Ian.
Okay, I accept your apology. Thank you very much. Well, that ended nicely. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
None of your business. What you got for us?
Okay. You're probably going to hate me, but I've just got to offer a counter-argument to your thing about BritBox and the BBC.
Well, I'm not going to hate you about it. I'm not going to hate you about a streaming service, but go on.
Well, basically, so I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, and I spent like years and years and years collecting VHSs, and then it made a transfer to DVD, and I was like, okay, so now I'll buy the DVDs for the special features. And it was just the passion, really, of mine. It has been for many, many years. I love having physical copies of stuff.
Right.
And what annoys me is the idea that it's great that people can just access this without having to traipse to HMV and various sort of outlets.
Oh, grow up.
Get them.
Grow up.
But
Grow up. Why do, so you, this is the problem I hate. This is the problem I've got with collectors. As a collector myself, and having moved in collector circles, this is what I hate about collectors, right? The feeling of superiority. The feeling of, well, I have got this rare tape that no one else has got, and I'm not gonna share it with anyone. I'm not gonna let, in fact, I'm not even gonna watch it myself. I'm gonna keep it on display on the shelf, and I'm never gonna watch it. And that makes me better. No, you should be great. As a fan of Doctor Who, you should be grateful that more people are going to get to see that wonderful television program that you claim to love. You don't love Doctor Who. You love the power that you get from having things that other people don't get. You should be thrilled that it's going to be shared and more people, more generations are going to have access to that stuff that before was the preserve of those with money.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. But what I was going to say was, is that the only issue I have with it is the same issue I have with Netflix, is that people will become lazy and they will not collect the DVDs, and then the BBC or Netflix, Amazon Prime can just pull this stuff and it won't be there anymore. I say have physical copies of all your favourite shows.
Not everyone can afford to buy physical copies. Not everyone has the space for physical copies. Not everyone wants physical copies. You want physical copies? Brilliant. You got them. Enjoy them. Not everyone does. I like Doctor Who. I want to watch some of the old Doctor Whos, but I don't want to clog up my shelves with DVDs that I will watch once. How can you have a problem with people watching a show that you enjoy?
It's not a problem. People can love the show and adore the
show. What point are you making?
The point is as a fan who collects this stuff and loves this stuff, I adore Doctor Who, I have since I was a kid.
So you should be grateful that other people are watching it.
I'm grateful, but I also think there is definitely a market that needs to be sustained for the sale of physical copies of things. And if this stuff is just really going to be available at the click of a button, the DVD shops, HMV...
The DVD shops closed down 5 years ago. Where were you?
That's the problem, and that's what I've got. It's like the streaming services...
They closed down 5 years ago. No one...
But don't you think that's a bad thing?
I think that's progress. I think that's the way it is. No one buys records anymore. People say there's a big resurgence in vinyl. There ain't. They're selling more than they were 10 years ago, but they're selling significantly less than they were 20 years ago. No one buys physical copies anymore. You do. I do, but the majority of people don't. You've got your physical copies. The BBC aren't going to come round and knock on your door on Monday and go, Paul, I'm really sorry, mate, we've got this new thing called BritBox. Those Doctor Who DVDs over there, we're going to have to take them back. They're yours. Enjoy them.
Let me just put this one thing to you before I go then. So you want to see all these old Doctor Who's and enjoy them. Fantastic.
I don't really want to see all of them. I might dip in and out of them, but I don't, I'm not that fussed.
That's cool. But then how would you feel if the BBC, say, BritBox doesn't work out because it can't compete with Netflix, Amazon Prime, and then the service just gets pulled, you then won't have access to that stuff anymore.
But they're not promising that I will own it. For a very, very small fee, I would be given access to that.
To be fair, I would like to get access to the complete Roland Rabbit series, though. That would be pretty cool.
No, I don't think you should. I've got it all on video because I taped it when it was on originally. I had to buy those blank video cassettes. I had to get up and tape those programs, and not just the Saturday Night Show. I taped all of the Whackaday stuff, all of that, and I had to press pause when the adverts were on. No, you shouldn't have access to that. I had to work hard to get that, and I don't want to share it with anyone. Do you see the futility of your argument?
Well, not particularly.
You should listen.
Argument.
You should listen. Because this is what the problem with collectors, right? And I know, big monkey collector, right? I've got so much monkey stuff, and I've kind of taken it upon me, all these videos and VHSs and stuff that a handful of people are interested in, I try and copy, digitise it and upload it to YouTube so that more people can see it. And it costs me a fortune. And for a while, I like to sit on it and think, well, I've got this and no one else has got it. And now I'm at the stage of thinking, just put it out there. I know, for example, that there's a guy in America who's got a few minutes of footage of the Monkees live in 1967 that no one's ever seen. No one's ever seen. And he won't share it with anyone. He won't share it. Well, what's the point of that? What is the point of that? You know, you don't have to give it away for free if it costs you a lot of money. Put it on Vimeo and charge, you know, a rental. Why would you do that? It's this feeling of superiority. I have something, and I've bought into it. I have something that other people want and they don't have.
But also it's the thing of I've had to do extra work to get this.
Yeah.
And so why should everyone else have it easy?
I've got this really rare single. It's probably the most expensive thing in my collection. It cost me $600. It's a Mike Nesmith single before he was in the Monkees. And it's him using the name Michael Blessing. And it's also the guy playing bass on it is a guy called John London. And it's this single, which is very rare. But what makes it worth $600 is it's not only signed by John London, it's signed by Michael, but as Michael Blessing. And as far as I'm aware, it's the only piece of vinyl that Nesmith has signed under the name Blessing, right? It's the only one. And it cost me a fortune. And I got it. And I went, yes, I've got it. I don't know what to do with it. Do you know what? I couldn't even tell you where it is. It's in my house. I couldn't even tell you where it is. Part of me feels guilty that I've got this thing and I'm trying to work out a way of how I can share it with other people, because at some point, everyone who cares about it is going to die.
Yeah.
Everyone who cares about it is going to die. And then I've got a bit of plastic with a bit of writing on it. That's it. That's all it is.
I've been listening to that Elton John audiobook, and he's a big shopper. Loves it. And he says, okay, yeah, it is out of hand, and it's probably an addiction, but I've been addicted to worse, right? And I can afford it. So it's... He's bought paintings, he's bought all kinds of furniture, like he's collected, you know, china and glassware from all over the world. He's really into these things. And a couple of times in his life, he's had a massive clear out and decided, do you know what? And it wasn't because he thought he had too much stuff, it's because he wanted to start again.
Yeah.
Right. But towards the end of his book, he says, I'm really thinking very seriously about an Elton John museum. And when you hear that, you think, what an arsehole, why would you... No, because he wants to put all these possessions, because he's realised that he's not going to live forever.
Yeah.
And he's got all these amazing things that other people will never see in their lifetimes. Yeah. And he wants to share them. I completely get that. I completely get that. If you take great pleasure in something, why wouldn't you want to?
Collectors, very strange. We've got a couple of calls. I've got to take a break because I'm late for a break. If you're ringing in now, do hang on the line, so I'll get to you as soon as I can. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Kath and Ian and Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Man, yeah, you got that good, yeah.
Keep going.
I've been spending all the night, but we're in the way now, right? You're a friend of mine. Yeah, you got that good, yeah. Friend of all the night, but we're in the way now, right? There's a friend of mine. Yeah, you dropped that gorgeous. There's a lonely time. There's a lonely time. There's a heart of mine. Yeah, you dropped that gorgeous.
There we go, Alan Caddick. Who'd have thunk it? Catherine and I had the great pleasure on Saturday night, before it all went tits up and our whole careers ended, we had the great pleasure of singing that song, Alan. Do you know to whom we sang it?
Was it Alan Rabbit Hole?
Yes. But to whom
Whom was in the audience and to whom did we sing that song?
Was it the lead singer of Republica?
It was Saffron from Republica was there. We sang Drop Dead Gorgeous to Saffron. We weren't sure if she would take it in the spirit it was intended. And she shouted midway through the first verse, go on, Car!
It was brilliant.
She loved it, Alan.
Wow.
Yeah, she loved it. And we have struck up a deal where if ever she is too sick to play a Republica concert, Kath is going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to Monday night. Late night. Really? Really? I'm not with it. Who are you, madam?
Oh, me. Catherine Boyle.
344-9915. I'm going to call.
Good night, Alan.
Thank you.
There we go. It's as simple as that. We must have enough of Alan Caddick recorded now to create an Alan bot.
Robo Caddick.
Exactly. We don't need him to call in anymore. There are some technical people. Hey, who happened to the kid that was going to do an app for this show?
GCSEs.
Yeah, they finished months ago. He's either done really well and has gone off to Cambridge or Oxford, or he did really badly and he's descended into hooch. 0344-499-1000, Late Night Alternative, I'm Ian Lee. We know who we are because you have been introduced.
Yeah.
You know, it's the show, phone-in show, unlike any other. We try and avoid all politics and all Brexit and all of that stuff. But can I just say, hello, please mute your computer. You're the producer of this show.
I know.
And your studio etiquette is...
Oh, forgive me.
Sorry?
I'll mute my computer.
Yeah.
If you can promise to stifle the farts.
Wow, we've gone straight.
We're going to talk about etiquette.
We've gone straight in there. You know I have a medical condition.
Well, so do I. Forgetfulness.
Shitty arseitis. No, don't, because this is one of the things I want to talk about. I want to stop swearing.
Yeah.
I should. I swear. We've got.
You can't come back. Well,
here's the thing. I can come back with the usual. We have a new person who is obviously learning, good evening, learning how to operate the phones. Shall I scare her? There we go. Now.
God.
I had to dump myself there. I had to dump myself.
Yet again.
That was definitely aimed at her. Don't worry. No, I would like to stop swearing.
I would like that too.
Because I think this is a genuine thing, by the way. 0344-499-1000. I think I definitely swear too much. Okay. I definitely swear too much. And I think there's too much swearing in the world. And obviously you, when there is too much swearing, you lose a little bit of the weight. You know, a good F bomb, good S bomb. Occasional good C-bomb. My kids still think they talk about the F-word and the S-word and the C-word, and they're 7 and 9. And I say to them, I've told you this before. They went to a film and they said with their mum, and they came and saw me, and they said it was great. It had the C-word in. I went, what? Thinking their mother took them to a. I said, what? I tell you what, no one's in trouble here. What? What was the C word? Crap. So they still think that that is the C word. But there's too much swearing in the world, okay? And I would like to stop because I think it's lazy. I don't think it's any use to anybody whatsoever. But I don't know how to stop. I've been saying this for about a year now that I would like to swear less. And we swear on this show a little bit. I would like to cut that out completely. But I don't know how to stop. So if anyone has any suggestions on how to stop, don't say swear box.
No, I was going to say, can I attach electrodes to your nips?
Please do. But let's talk about that after we discuss the swear. I still think it's a great idea and I still want to do this where we get two TENS machines, the things that give you electric shocks, and the callers phone up. And they say, to whom do they want to give an electric shock? And also, what number between 1 and 10?
Oh, no.
And we do it. And we do it. But no, Catherine has not been able to find us two TENS machines.
No, we're all out.
I don't. Here's the thing with I can let you into the secret, dear listener, with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here coming up. I think it starts on the 17th. Which I guess is this Friday or Saturday. I don't really know.
Yeah, Sunday.
I was in it. I was in it.
Were you?
I was in it.
Which one were you?
I was Gemma Collins.
I wanted a ham sandwich. It wasn't forthcoming. I left.
I don't need the money, babe.
I was in it, and I had to do one task, and it was very, very funny task, where thick boxer Amir Khan was dressed as a cat, I think, or a skunk or something. And I had to guide him through like a bric-a-brac shop in the middle of the jungle. And every time he knocked something over, I would get an electric shock, right? And he was terrified. It was funny because he was terrified of everything. He thought there were snakes and shiz there. And there wasn't. There was nothing. It was just, it took like 2 hours for, 2 minutes of TV. But, the electric shock things were basically what he would knock something over and then some member of the production team would hit a button and I'd go, whoa, jeez. And, I said, where were they? I want to say my nipples. But I seem to remember them being in my thighs as well. So they would...
Not the buttocks.
No. So they would zap me, right? And then, I'm so honest, but then after... And it took 2 hours to film this. And after about 10 minutes, they stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm really sorry, guys. I'm not getting the electric shocks.
Is she sweaty?
I don't think it was sweaty. I just think it was really cheap equipment. And so they stopped and they came and they reapplied the electric shocks and they did all that. And then for the next 10 minutes, it's all working. And then it happened again. I said, really sorry, guys, I'm not getting that electric shock. They came and did it again. The third time, the electric shocks were very intermittent. And the third time they went, can you just pretend? And I went, I can do, but really? They went, yeah, could you just pretend? And that's one of the few bits of that series I've seen back. And you can really tell, I'm not a very good actor, as anyone who will have seen my sitcom, The Persuasionist, will attest. I'm not a very good actor. So you can see when I'm doing fake electric shocks.
Show me.
So a fake one is, do it.
It involves jogging.
So no. I've not. Whatever the point of that was. Have we started? Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
We were talking about perhaps affixing them to ourselves, but unfortunately, I can't obtain the equipment.
We don't do politics, but let me just say this: I press that nuclear button right now. The way I'm feeling at the moment, where is that nuclear button? I'd press it right now. Big thing that. One of the MP, today is Remembrance Day proper. Would you press a nuclear button? Well, hang on a second, guys. It's the 11th of the 11th. Can we not wait until tomorrow?
Can we continue to remember how bad it was before we start a new one?
Let's wait until tomorrow and then maybe we'll play philosophical mind games together. And all the parties are now saying, we would push it. We will push it straight away. I'll push it now. Just give me the button. I'm pushing it now. I don't give a stuff. I'm going to destroy everybody in a nuclear war.
Even the little kittens?
Yeah, well, no, don't get me started on kittens. We're entering a new phase of insanity in my house. I am now become a mad cat man. I live on my own. Except for I don't have 3 cats anymore. I have 5 cats now. 5 cats. I went and got the cats on Saturday. I've made a very, very bad decision in getting 2 more cats. We'll discuss that and more. Dave, you're going to be up next. 0344-499-1000. This is the Late Night Alternative. Thank you, Tracy. TENS machines are for sale in Asda by the pharmacy counter.
Oh.
This could be... We're going to press the nuclear button at some point this week. This is Talk Radio.
We can't forget the man who made us smile. And in the light of day, you can hear his voice and say, looking back to the youth of yesterday, look inside the man with a heart of gold, think like a child, that's what I'm told. The greatest entertainer in the world, I say, looking back to the youth of yesterday. Michael, oh Michael, there will never be no one like you. Michael, we won't forget you, 'cause the world is thinking of you too. Respect is what you've got now, you're gone. But now I know that life goes on and on.
There'll always be a day we can say your songs will say, looking back to the youth of yesterday. Michael, oh Michael, there will never be no one like you.
Run like the wind, run for your life.
That was shock.
03444991000, tribute there to the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, by Nigel and Maidstone. Lavinia, so, you're in Bermondsey Market.
Sunny yes. day.
And you're naked. Tell us what happened next.
Well, what happened, I was having a cup of coffee, right? And all of a sudden, I actually saw this balloon, right? And I thought, it's somebody's balloon, and apparently it was a helium balloon, right?
Yes.
And it had the number 80 on it, right? Listen to this, right? Then as I was sitting there drinking my coffee, it was like hovering, right? And I thought, in a minute, somebody's going to grab hold of it because, you know, I mean, it could be a child's balloon or somebody's balloon.
Or a balloon for an 80th birthday party.
Yes, exactly. And I tell you what happened. Above the coffee shop, there's a pensioners' hall, and I had a feeling that they had a party and it was somebody's birthday, 80-year-old. And what happened, as I looked up, I actually saw this window open, right, above. So I thought that balloon has come out of the window. But guess what?
All right, Poirot.
It gets better.
I hope so.
Because you know what happened? I was sitting there 1 minute, and all of a sudden, it went 50 feet along. And then I looked again, and I thought, oh, it's disappeared. It's gone somewhere, right?
Yes.
Then, to my amazement, I looked to my right, and as the market square goes in to like a triangle, right, there's an alleyway, right?
Yeah.
And as I've looked, I've seen the balloon hovering from the alleyway coming towards me.
Why are you doing it like you're describing a murder? You're doing it in a murder voice.
Well, this is what I'm thinking, because at the time I was so shocked.
Can I just pause you for a second, right?
I think it was coming for you.
We've got a new microphone here. They're very sensitive. And I'm just going to put the microphone next to my head, right? And you're going to hear the noise that's going through my head as you're telling me this story. You ready?
Yes.
Let me just move it. Here we go. This is it. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga,
ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. Is it about that,
that's good. Try the one that's going through my head. Ready?
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Is it that bad? Like a boy laser. Is it that bad? Why be more than
ever on occasion? So, this balloon, it was coming towards you. What happened next?
Gonna put it next. Let me put the microphone next to Sarah's head. This is what's going on in Sarah's head. It's the same as me! Oh no, hang on. We've done the wrong. That's my microphone that has been. This is what's going on in her head.
To the phone.
Oh, it's the same thing! What's happened? My computer's been taken over by the hookah chucker noise!
Can I just tell you about this balloon, please? If that's okay.
Hello?
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 Is there anybody there?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
No, I want to talk about the balloon.
Just shut it, pal.
No, I won't. It is a Lavinia.
What are you beefing on about?
I'm actually trying to explain about this balloon.
Who's that?
Lavinia.
Who, you?
Yes, Lavinia.
I like mushy peas.
And I like mashy sausages.
Who's
and
that?
Beans and
flipping
pudding.
A guzzler.
No, all I want to talk about is this balloon.
Who's that?
And what happened, I was sitting at coffee shop.
Who's that?
It's me, Lavinia.
Yeah, I know it is now.
Can I talk about my balloon?
Just shut it, pal.
it's not Carol, my lovely. It's Lavinia Gray.
Are you real?
Yes, I am a balloon, and I'm trying to explain something.
Dear, dear, dear. What a radio program this is.
Ian, are you there?
Oh, God.
All I want to talk about the balloon. Anyway, I'm going to talk about my balloon.
Please don't go.
What happened this...
Did we get a balloon anywhere here?
No, let me explain myself.
It was in the balloon.
Carry on, Stick Living. You ignore Dave. He's being rude.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you.
Thank you for keeping the youth of Britain entertained.
This balloon.
Are we allowed to talk about balloons during Purdah?
Let me just check. Yes.
Away you go. We finish at one, Lavinia, so speed it up a bit, because Daryl does a good show. He don't want this crap.
Well, what happened,
every
time I saw this balloon, it kept reappearing and also disappearing. And then as I've looked up the alleyway, it was up there again, and it's making its way back past me. But nobody's noticed.
Sneaky balloon.
Sneaking up on her.
Anyway, what happened, Ian, may be a bit sad and also maybe a bit strange.
Is it a bit interesting? Because I would hope after 15 minutes of talking, it might be.
Yeah. What I believe, what happened in that area, because it kept going to the same sort of place, hovering.
You've answered what happened. There was an 80-year-old bird. You were sat underneath an elderly centre. It was a window open. It was a birthday party for an 80-year-old, and the balloon came out the window.
Let her finish. There's got to be an interesting part.
I don't know if there is.
But what I'm trying to say, all of a sudden I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I am going to get up and actually grab the balloon.
Well, why didn't you?
Yes, but I was going to. And guess what happened? Some lady
You got sucked
down,
off by an alien.
No, an 80-year-old lady come by and I said, is that your balloon? She said yes.
Well, you got anally probed by an alien. That's what happened to you. Yes. That did actually happen to her. It's not me being vulgar. Lavinia, you got probed by an alien.
That wasn't that day. This was the balloon day.
Okay. Could have been the same day. Could have been a very eventful day.
All I'm going to say, the balloon, I've never stopped to think about it.
Why?
Because it made me go all lovely and... A goose bumpily.
You should have taken it home and ridden it.
Well, there you go. Yes, I should have done. But
I bet you get a right horn on when you walk down the street and you see those blokes selling 50 Pokemon and Disney character balloons.
Definitely. I love it.
Thank you very much indeed, Lavinia. Is that how throw forwards work? I thought they were supposed to be like a reason for people wanting to listen. Not, we just made people angry now. Give me that
Some
nuclear button,
aroused.
I'm pressing it.
Some of them are aroused.
Give me the nuclear button, I will press it. Ask me that question, Piers Morgan. Would you press the nuclear? Yes, now! And I'd have like a little fake red button. I'd go, imagine this is the nuclear button. That's it, I'm doing it. That's what I'd say.
What about the kittens, though?
Well, so I've got these, I've bought the kittens. So I had three cats. Old lady, Velvet. 20 and a half. The two girls, who are just over a year. And then I got like a phone call last week from someone from the RSPCA saying, we've got six kittens. Do you want to come have a look at them? Yeah, I didn't want to go and look at them. I said, I'll come have a look, but I'm not really in the market for cats at the moment. I went and looked at these two, my brother and sister, and they're 10 weeks old and they got an eye infection, and they're small and they're very cute, and I wasn't going to take them. And then the little boy came up to me and said, please, mister, me and my sister, no one loves us, because we're a little bit small. Please, can we come and live with you? Please. I said, I can't do it. And then this little girl came up and went, please, mister, we're begging you. And so, so on Saturday, the RSPCA came to check out my house. They didn't notice I had a train line at the end of the garden. That was the thing I was worried about. And the woman was like in her late 50s, 60s, in her 60s, I think. And I'm excellent at flirting with women in their 60s. Excellent. And I totally charmed her and I showed her velvet and...
That's his cat, by the way.
Yeah, it's my cat. And she said, well, I don't see any problem here. Yes, I'll let Vicky know and you can... I said, okay. So I texted Vicky and said, looks like I've passed the audition. When can I get... What happens now? She goes, well, you can come and get them. I said, what, now? She went, whenever's convenient. I'll be over in half an hour. And so I got this little boy and this little girl and they came over on Saturday and they are just the most adorable things. My girls, well, one of my girls, Mucky, met them very briefly today and she just ran out of the kitchen, ran through the cat flap, ran to the end of the garden. I've not seen her since. So that went well. And they're locked in the living room at the moment and they're tiny and the boy, haven't got names yet. The boy, if you're standing up, the boy will claw his way up your jeans, up to, have you seen
they're
him do
very
that?
Very friendly, yeah.
Yeah. They sit on your shoulder. If you watch the stream on, Sunday night, they were climbing all over me. She fell asleep on my shoulder. He fell asleep on my belly. And they're adorable. And, they do the stinkiest dumps I've ever, I mean, it's just appalling. They did a really bad fart the other day. I thought it was the boys, but it was not. It was one of the cats. So I've got 5 cats now. I'm like that. I'm the mad. I always said more than 2 cats and you're insane. Then I got 3 and it's like, okay, well, 3 is like the actual line. I've got 5 cats and it's going to be a real system of having to monitor the cat flap because the kittens won't be going out for 6 months. And also he's a boy kitten and he's not been done. He can't get done for a few months. So I've got to make sure he doesn't mount his sister and impregnate his sister, which is easily done. Trust me. So don't ask. So, you know, and also I'm worried because
I think they can do them quite early, actually, male cats.
Okay.
Now.
But the 2 girls, I'm worried because I've not really seen them for the last couple of days. So I'm worried they're feeling left out and, oh, it's a hot. And here's the thing. These 2 are cuter than the 2 girls because the 2 girls are feral and they bring in live mice. So the whole thing is going to be a nightmare. People are going to come and not want to see the girls. Lucky and Mucky.
I love those girls. It has to be said. And actually, Mucky is very, very friendly.
Lux, you don't see her.
Mucky, you don't see. She expresses emotion through food, and that food is generally half-eaten and a rodent.
Yeah.
But she's
babies.
Trying.
They're my babies.
But they are cute, man.
Yeah.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Very quickly, so I'm reading about Liam Lynch, who did My United States or whatever, thinking, you know, whatever happened to him. And it turns out he's directed movies and comedy specials and he does a podcast and he did fake songs of bands, including a fake Beatles song, which I can't find. If anyone in the last 10 minutes of the show can find Liam Lynch's fake Beatles song, I think it's just called Fake Beatles Song. I'd love to hear it. But I just found this. I haven't heard this. I'm going to hear it now. This is Liam Lynch doing a fake Talking Heads song. So let's...
People in the street.
Yes! My God!
So good.
My God! Well, I've got a... I mean, that's, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? That's just, hang on a second. Look, can we get just very quickly, fake Dylan. This is him doing a fake Dylan, I think.
Cross your fingers. You can't walk on water. School in the beginner. Wasting all the winter. That's what you do.
He's good, man. I'm going to go and get the Liam Lynch podcast while Catherine tells us about Dracula.
Oh, I think it's a boring story now.
You really know how to sell this stuff.
Well, let's see.
I love you so much.
The real-life Dracula was from Devon, a horror expert claims. Starting to look ever more flimsy as I read. Writer Andy Struthers says a priest from Exeter may have inspired author Bram Stoker's legendary vampire. Stoker featured the city's cathedral close in his original story, and Exeter is where lawyer Jonathan Harker leaves from for Transylvania. The Count later travels... God, I can't read.
What's going on with you?
I'm tired.
You high? You high? You, no. want some marijuana? You want to go up? You want to go down?
No, thanks. I think I just want to go home. The Count later travels to England to hunt for new blood. Now, Andy believes Dracula was based on ideas by Sabine Baring Gould, an Anglican priest from Exeter.
Oh.
Baring Gould lived in nearby Lew Trenchard Manor and wrote two books which Stoker based Dracula's features on. Andy said the Book of Werewolves and the Vampire Tale provided Stoker with elements of his story and virtually everything he needed for his creation of the Vampire Count. That is not what the headline suggests.
Oh, hang on.
Horror expert claims real-life Dracula was a priest from Devon. No, he's saying Bram Stoker nicked his story.
Oh,
I think
man.
They've got all the headlines in one bag and all the stories in another, and they just throw them in the air. Like David Bowie and Thingy used to do.
So,
well, Brian Eno, wasn't it?
Well, what we
this is balls.
We've fallen for funny as you said balls. I caught my balls there as I moved it. We've fallen for clickbait. We've fallen for clickbait, and God damn it, I'm furious.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
Catherine has been fired for being racially insensitive and homophobic. Catherine Boyle will not be part of the show anymore. Please welcome my new co-host, Paul Denan. Good evening, Paul.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm fine, Paul. Now, I may not be doing this show for much longer, and I'll tell you why.
What?
I'm embarking on a musical career. And I would like to play you a song that I wrote yesterday during the show.
Wow.
Improvise it. And I'm doing all the parts.
You're so talented.
Thank you. Another reason we sacked Cass. She wouldn't say that. So we're just going to turn the microphones off so we can hear it in the studio. This is my song from last night.
Oh, baby, I want to love you so much. Oh, baby, I want to hold you. Oh, baby, will you love me tonight? Oh, baby, let's make love.
There you go. Oh, baby, nice and straightforward. It goes around again. That's it. I wrote that myself, improvised it. I'm doing all the parts, four track, myself.
I'm in shock.
I've thrown this at you. I've thrown this at you. You weren't expecting this.
I'm usually never stuck for words.
Yeah. Let it sink in.
I mean, the production.
Isn't it?
Could be.
Isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it though?
It's. Yeah. You know, it needs a little bit of work.
Okay. Ian, constructive criticism, I can take. But what you just said was rude.
What was the reason for it?
Sorry?
The reason.
Do you, here's the thing, Paul.
We don't need a reason.
Well, unlike you, actors, who get told where to stand and what to say and what how to feel, I'm a true artist.
You are.
I'm free.
Yeah.
So I just make it when the muse grabs me by the cojones and says, make something. It's like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll make something now.
I mean, I felt it. I felt the ad-libbing. I felt the kind of riffing.
Yeah.
I could see you at Ronnie Scott's. To be honest.
Wow, thank you
very much.
Maybe
for one night only.
I'll tell you why I did it. Because you know you get those show-offs that will go on stage and they have like a box. And so then they go, and then they hit the button on the box and then it loops it.
Yeah.
And they just loop over the top.
The Ed Sheerans of the world.
Yeah, show-offs like that guy. I just wanted to show that I could do it.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself, Paul Denan?
I would describe myself as quite happy, go lucky, you know, people's person. But, you know, there's been times where I haven't been so happy, go lucky.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you anything tonight?
Anything.
And the same goes, you know, the same goes
to
me.
This is a free
for all. You can ask me anything, right? And we know more.
Yes. We're having it large.
I consider you a friend.
You are, mate.
But I don't know you very well.
No.
But yet also I know the small bits.
In front of millions.
Well, this is it. The small bits I know.
The story.
I know some really intimate stuff about you.
Yeah. I don't want it to be doom and gloom. We don't have to go like too. But you know, you can ask me anything.
Catherine's back. That sacking didn't last very long.
I like Catherine.
She's all right, isn't she? So Catherine is...
What have you been saying about me?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Something about her that's really nice.
The way you used to do the shape of a bum with your hand. Something about her's really nice. Why would you do that? Catherine produces the show and she co-hosts the show.
She's amazing.
She's the boss.
She
basically.
Is.
Yeah. But I was, right, so, okay, and the same goes for me. You can ask me anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Catherine knows where all my bodies are buried.
Because we've been waiting to do this for a while now.
For ages.
You know, and that's the good thing about us is, like, we keep our word, but even if it's a year later, it doesn't matter.
I was trying to work out where we first met.
Yeah, I mean.
Was it on Celebrity Soup? You never came on to Rise with me, did you? Breakfast show I did.
I probably did.
Neither of us would remember that period. That was a little bit frosty. But,
I mean,
in the
I remember when they turned it to Rise, actually. Yeah. And I don't think
you came on Rise, but
maybe
you came on Celebrity Soup, I think, a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a show I did on E.
Yeah.
That no one saw.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You and John McCrurick were the kind of standard guests that we had.
I know. He was hard to...
I liked him.
I mean, he's
him.
All right.
But he's dead now.
Yeah.
But I liked him. I liked him. I liked him a lot, but I understand why people didn't like him. I always got on very, very well with John, actually. But I can understand people would find him...
How much of it was an act?
Well, that's it. I mean,
I don't know if it was. He was...
I don't know if it was. I think he just didn't really care.
I think
You know, that's just him. And
His
wife stood by him, didn't she?
The booby.
That's it.
The booby. But I always got on really, really well with him. Last time I saw him was at a Big Brother thing and he looked awful. And I went and said, you're right.
Well, do you remember Liquid News?
Yeah, of course I do. They promised that show to me, but then they gave it to Richard Bacon,
No, before Richard. Remember that it was the,
Christopher. Passed away, didn't he?
So he was a good friend of mine.
Was he really? I loved him. He was such a nice bloke.
And he literally had me on nearly every night. It was amazing, because
the
money was decent. And
it was like 500 quid or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was something. And this is like 15, maybe 20 years ago.
And I'd be like, honestly, but I pull you back again. I'm like, like, you know, literally most nights I'd be on it with Vernon Kay or that guy from Heat magazine.
Boyd Hilton.
No, not Boyd, the other one.
Contempting your voice, not Boyd.
No, the other one, Mark,
I hosted it a few times with Claudia Winkleman.
But anyway, and he just loved the fact that I had no idea what they were on about when they got a bit intellectual.
Yeah.
And not that I'm a thicko or anything like that, but I just kind of wasn't quite, and they just found me funny without me even realising I was funny, and they just kind of took the piss a bit. But it,
you can say piss.
Really?
But, I think when we got you on.
But I don't think it was that.
What?
We met.
I remember when we got you on Celebrity Soup, it was a little bit to take the piss. And I feel a little bit, a lot of my career, 11 o'clock show and stuff, was taking the mickey out of people. Mm. And I've had to kind of come to terms with a lot of what I've done in the past was mean TV. Mm. And I did actually want to ask you what it felt like. There was a period when, like you say, with celebrity...
There was a prank show that maybe you were part of, actually, that I did. That I don't know if I got... When woman in the street, and I had to kind of... And there was a guy with a guitar, and then someone smashed it up. And some girl was an actor, but someone smeared a load of shit on her...
You can't say that. No.
A load of poo on her back. I'm really sorry, listeners.
It's ain't the Dan Wooten show. We've got standards.
No, you have. And but maybe you were... Were you part of prank shows?
No, the 11 o'clock show had a pranky element, but it wasn't that. That sounds a bit like
It was similar to that, but it wasn't quite that. But we just knew each other from, but it was Celebrity Soup, definitely. But anyway, we were on, Sam Delaney's show, news thing, for quite a few times.
Russia Today.
Love it.
How did you feel about taking the ruble from Putin? Did you feel guilty about that?
Little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit.
But I had much pleasure in beating up Blobby, Mr. Blobby.
Oh, I was there when you beat up Mr. Blobby. They got Blobby, actual Blobby came in.
I mean, I wasn't having any of it.
But I jumped on his back. You hurt him.
Literally.
Well, here's the thing, he jumps on Blobby's back, and the poor bloke in there, who's been doing it for years, obviously can't see anything. And he went
not
down.
Dangerous.
He went down.
And I think there was a carried on. It's making...
It hurt him. He actually beat up Blobby, yeah. And the bloke that played Blobby.
Yeah.
What well, are you
I
doing
didn't
now?
Know it was a real person under
there. Of course it's a real person under there. Blobby. It's one of the worst
things. He was Blobby all the way through.
Of course. Listen, I believe things like that.
What are you doing? What are you doing now?
I'm doing a lot of stuff, actually. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
I just played it. No, I just played, it's funny, actually, it's quite ironic. I just played a narcotics detective for the NCA.
Is this the thing you were doing the other day?
Yeah.
I phoned him up, I WhatsApped him, FaceTimed him, whatever. And he's,
that was it.
And he's there, and he's got like a police lanyard. And he's a police lanyard. I thought he'd been nicked.
No, I was a proper detective. With Gary Webster from Mindar.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim Tilly from The Bill. And they're quite used to doing, like, those police kind of roles. And for me, it's like, it was a first. Usually, I'm fighting them.
Yeah.
Or being arrested by them, you know. Either as a character
or in real life. Yeah, yeah.
And so it was really interesting. And it's a new crime drama called Moreland's Firm.
Who's this for?
For hopefully for Netflix.
Right.
They're really interested in it. But it's a pilot, you know, and but they've got some good actors in it, and it's for North East Films, which is like, you know, based up in Tyneside, Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing stuff for up north.
I want to see you acting
quite
more.
Good. Yeah.
Isn't it easy to get taken away from all of that?
Yeah, it is. My film Are We Dead Yet, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
Which we shot last year and it's come out this year, is doing really good, so I'm really happy, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing a play in February at the Tristan Bates Theatre in Covent Garden called Time. But, you know, as an actor, it's spitty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm putting on events at the moment for a place called Jakarta's.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Were you a fan of, have you ever seen Hollyoaks, Cads?
Yeah, I did.
Dude, now what is your era? For me, Mike, the classic era, were you in it with, what was the guy, what was his name, Bottle Rocket? The thick guy, there was a thick guy.
Jumbo.
Sorry?
Jumbo.
Not Jumbo.
I think it may have been slightly after your time. What was he called? He was,
One called Bottle Rocket.
It was Tinhead, that was Brookside.
Yep.
But it was like Tinhead. Do you know who I mean, Alan?
Yeah, I know what
you
mean as well.
I'm trying to picture his name.
Try and picture his face, and then try and remember his
name. There was two of them. What, you mean Darren and Matt Littler?
Max and Obi.
No, not those two. Because they've gone off.
Yeah.
Bombed.
Oh, Lee Otway. I was on Celebrity Love Island with him.
But Bombed was.
Yeah, he was after me though. But okay. After me in Hollyoaks.
Yep.
But we met each other properly on Celebrity Love Island, and he did lose his stuff on Love Island because the American girl.
What do you mean he lost his stuff?
He just lost his mind because this American girl wouldn't. Just didn't want him.
Right.
And
she was in love.
She was more into Dennis Rodman.
God. And here's, Alan, thank you very much for that. And here's the thing, right? People don't realise that Love Island now, it was around, when was Celebrity Love Island?
2005, 2006.
There you go. So 15 years ago, it was around.
Different but it was, then, though, it wasn't
was,
it?
Oh, yeah, but it was Celebrity Love Island.
Celebrity.
And it was Callum Best, who was in everything.
Everything.
Callum Best owned ITV2 between the years of 2003
this and 2000.
This was ITV1. Was it? Yeah. It was, of course yeah, it was.
It was big pants, big boys.
Who hosted
big
it?
Big boys stuff. So we had, to start with, it was Patrick Kilty and Kelly Brook, my ex.
Yes, of course. What, really? Did you go out with Kelly, you went out with Patrick Kilty? Jokes. You went out with Kelly Brook?
Yeah, and the, and
potatoes.
the thing is, she was with, you know, it's a Wyckoff, Titanic guy.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No!
Come
on, the baddie in Titanic.
It's literally just three old people, two of whom have caned it too much.
Billy Zane!
Yeah. It's a Wyckoff. You know, in Zoolander, that's his best line.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, when it's a walk-off.
Yeah.
And, which means, you know, like, anyway. So,
but don't focus too much on Billy Zane, let it go.
But Billy had some good advice, even though he knew that, you know.
Yeah.
We were stripping back in the day.
Yes. But my gosh, you really did care for her.
It's romantic, isn't it?
Stripping, you say. any of this. Gosh,
it's a very good Yiddish word.
So what did the Zainster say to
you? He was giving me some great advice. He was like, really, you know, like, listen, what you need to do with your money and what you need to do with this fame now, because you know it was a big series for me. That huge. You know, I was coming off a lot of drugs and the world was seeing it, and for some reason they were loving it.
Yeah,
they were, which. In a way, you know, if I get on a kind of more sad level of it, it's quite exploitation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the way they fed me the alcohol and, you know, and they knew that I wasn't very well, but I was also loving it.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lad's holiday. I, in my own little mind, forgot there were cameras.
Yeah.
Because they're behind these black cloths and behind these palm trees. Just
and this is before
sneezing now and again, and
we were aware of, but Big Brother had been around, but we still weren't quite.
No,
the reality TV wasn't quite the thing that it
just
is now.
Started. That's why I had no idea what reality.
So what
was.
You were getting, you were trying to get what you'd given up drugs, and we will talk about drugs because it's integral to both of us, I think. But you were giving up drugs in 2005, and you went straight onto the Love Island, or
I didn't really have a choice. You weren't really allowed to take drugs on the island.
Outrageous. So what? You had a big use up and then flew over there or something?
Pretty much. Aye. I mean, I got there and bought a big black sack of Fijian weed, very twiggy and stemmy and
yeah.
But they wouldn't let me bring that black sack with me onto the actual show.
Responsible.
So,
yeah.
So when I got on there, the only thing I had was alcohol given to me. I wasn't really into booze, but you know,
if that's all you've got,
yeah, that's
you're gonna
all
neck
I got. It kind of took, you know, away any pain or feelings that I. So I kind of, you know, look, at the end of the day, it was my fault. It's my part to play in that. You know, I have to own that completely. But the fact was, you know, all I had was the women.
Yeah.
Which was the reason of being there, I suppose, for the show. And then the booze. And then, you know, when you take the booze too far, you become this happy drunk into this paranoid kind of aggressive drunk. And that's where, you know, I suppose it was a bit exploiting in a way. It was like, well, let's feed him more because this is great TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And Big Brother is on the other side and we need to really beat their ratings.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It was quite handy for them to let you unravel, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you know, and I was coming off a lot of stuff and they kind of hid that away and just let me detox without
on screen
me anything. Yeah.
Wow,
and
mate.
It was just my way. And I didn't even know what was going on with my body or my brain. I didn't know I was detox. I'd never done that. I'd never been to rehab. I'd never done detox. So for me, I was like, what's going on with me? But so the only way to kind of mask that was to have a drink in the evenings.
Yeah.
But I wanted all the drink, you know, and yeah, you know, I didn't realize the way I was acting. It was quite bad. But what was good about that Love Island is the fact that there were no producers or directors on set telling you who to get with, what to do, how to be, what conversations to have, which is now how it is, very contrived.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not dissing their Love Island right now.
Because, oh, it's a different show.
But it's
same
a completely
name, different, show.
Different kettle of fish. We were just left on this island, 500 crew on another island, editing, making it happen, and bigger than the jungle.
Yeah.
You know, or as big as the setup, Granada TV, you know, huge. They spent millions, you know, and you know, and you're just left with Abby Titmus. You know,
now I've met Abby Titmus. I think Abby Titmus is I think is beautiful. She's a really, really nice,
really nice girl.
Person, very quiet.
Little Nurse Betty.
Yeah, very. I met her. She did some stuff at LBC years ago.
I love
her. And she's such a nice.
Yeah.
But both those women you met and you named got chewed up and spat out, didn't they?
Oh, I think Abby.
But Abby's killing it now in General Hospital in LA.
Yeah, she's doing it great.
She's in Joey's.
But she got
from Friends show.
She got used terribly. I thought the way that she was treated is because she made a couple of mates.
John Leslie stuff, wasn't it?
Kim Kardashian, has she made a good sex tape?
I think it's the difference of a few years.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's the difference of a few years. It is now more acceptable, that kind of thing.
I made my own show on that show because we were bored in the day and stuff, called Lilo Banter.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was presented
that I'd watch.
Yeah, and it was presented by Lionel Banter.
Yeah.
So I was this character called Lionel Banter. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And I'd wear this really silly outfit with this Hawaiian shirt and I'd get on a Lilo in the water. And it was my way of really interviewing the other celebrities. But because you know, it was like, well, forget anyone's watching. We're just having a laugh. And they ain't going to use this footage. Tell me everything. Mm. What happened with John Leslie? Mm. What happened with David Beckham, Rebecca Luce?
Mm.
What happened, you know, and I'd be like, hello, it's Lionel Banter. You know, okay, so today I'd like to know, was David really big? You know, and all that. And she'd answer.
Yeah.
Because she just think, oh, it's just Paulie having a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And ITV2 had a live little spin-off show that would just... throwing it out there every Whoa. Day, and it became huge. This Lilo Banter, you know. I still need to do this show. You know, yeah. Imagine interviewing guests on a Lilo.
Stay there. I need to take a break.
Do it.
Thank you. this is the late night alternative. Ian Cath. We've got Paul Denang. Daniel, stay there. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Have you heard of, we were just during the break, Paul said, oh, I was in a film you did about a signing in a shop. And I'm going, I don't think that you were it. In that in the end. No. But that was done by, that was my mate Scott Balcony. Have you seen the girly swat when you finished texting, Paul? No, no, no rush, mate.
I'm promoting your show.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hi.
I mean, it was what you sent me. I think you cut me out, or you just didn't want me in the end. But you teased me to get me in it, and then.
But you weren't in it.
I don't think you had the budget.
No, there was no budget. No. Let me phone up Scott. Who's Scott? Have you seen the girly SWAT t-shirts?
Girly SWAT t-shirts.
And the Lady Hail Spider shirts.
Mm.
No, you haven't. Okay.
That's bad.
I don't know that. No, it's
from now on, say you haven't. They're brilliant.
Oh, can you send me one? Right, just leave a message. Right, for Scott. Say Paul Denan, and this is Scott.
Please leave your message after the tone. To re-record your message, key hash at any time.
Oh, hi Scott. It's Paul Denan here. You know those t-shirts you do with the spiders and stuff like that? I was wondering if you might be able to send me some. I've just been really thinking about them a lot. I don't know why they've come up in my dreams. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a new fashion brand, and I just thought maybe we could talk. Also, do you remember that show that you made with a guy called Ian Lee? It was about, like, some signing thing. I'm, like, working on my resentments at the moment. And I just wondered, like, why you didn't hire me, because you teased me that you were going to get me in it, and then you didn't. So, anyway, maybe I think I deserve at least a T-shirt for that. All right, but no grudges held. All right, cheers, mate. Bye.
There we go. Let's put him in his place. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, you're through to Dangerous Danan. Not heard that for
hello,
a while.
Hello, I got fooled by you when you said that Kate was gone.
Say that again,
sorry,
Daniel.
Mate.
I was fooled by you.
Yeah.
You said that Kate was gone. Fired.
Oh, that I was gone, that I got fired.
Catherine was gone for racial insensitivity.
Oh, right. This is the first wave of the campaign to reinstate me.
Well, it turns out it has to go to a tribunal, Daniel. I can't just give... I don't actually have the authority to give her the sack, despite being her boss.
You're not my boss.
Know, today, who earns the most?
Well, you don't make you my boss.
Daniel!
Today I got a free haircut.
Free haircut. So did I, mate. That's weird.
Yeah, I was searching like homeless haircut and things like cheapest hairdresser.
Where was the hairdressers?
And then I found one in Liverpool Street.
Liverpool Street.
It's called the London School of Barbering.
Right, excellent. Did you cut it yourself?
I went there. Very nice people. Lots of people wanting to have a free haircut.
Amazing. So you were like a model?
No, they are training, so they have a supervisor, and then they check everything.
Shag everything?
Shave.
Check.
Check.
It's just for
shave, shag, then check.
Can you just tell me what it looks like now?
Rubbish.
It looks well done. Like, the thing is, when I was in the street, like, many people smoking outside, and then...
Terrible.
There was a postman trying to find number one on that street. And then I thought, well, this is why my vision of the international postcode system using meter cubes.
But how's your hair, mate?
Hang on. You've just glossed over something that could be amazing. You have a brand new system for international postcodes, Daniel.
Yes.
How does that work?
It uses meter cubes, so each meter cube is a different postcode.
A metal cube is a different postcode?
No, meter.
Meter.
A meter cube. Oh, a meter cube on the map.
Each meter cube is a different postcode.
Okay. Oh, hang on.
Well, that's just an address.
But hang on, that means you'll have, in your house, you'll have about 25 postcodes?
Listen to you, Lady Muck.
Right. And when you sign a tenancy, you would list all the cubes that you have in your house. Like.
So what makes you want to do that as a job?
I designed some algorithms to calculate the cube. Right. If you have the GPS coordinates, you can calculate the cube.
Excellent, okay. Mate.
But anyway, Daniel, how's your hair?
So it was clipper number one on the sides and on the back.
Same hair.
And then kind of freestyle, a bit messy with his...
So you've got the same haircut as Paul Dunan.
Yeah, see, I had mine done today.
It looks lovely.
Thank you, R.W. Wolf Barbers in Knightsbridge.
Free?
Yeah, free.
How come?
Well, I did some posts for them.
You did some posts?
Yeah. What? On Instagram.
He's working the Insta.
You've got to show me how to work
in that. Portugal. I'm from Portugal, and they did one thing called the cow parade.
A parade of cows?
The cow parade. And that,
cow
and
parade.
In London, we did the elephant parade.
But what's that got to do with hair, mate?
Instead of cows or elephants, we could have cubes.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
Thanks, mate.
Daniel, do you want to ask Paul Dunan anything?
He is from Love Island, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I love Paris Hilton. I like the Kim Kardashian thing and the Paris Hilton. Once I went to the Hilton Hotel in Holland.
Finsbury Park?
In Holland.
When you entered the Hilton, did you go in the front or did you go in around the back?
There was a piano.
Okay, gosh, very spacious.
Piano.
Thank you so much for that. It's a real insight into... I would.
Good luck with barbering.
I would love to hear you doing a late night show.
This is unbelievable.
We're going to do the Instagram in a minute. Let's do some good news.
Let's do some good stuff.
You're clean.
Yeah.
From drugs.
I am clean from drugs and
drink. Am I allowed to ask how long?
Everything. Last week I picked up my 6 months. So, it's been really, it's been a real journey, man. I mean, I had to go away again in January. February, actually, no. What am I talking about? I went away to Thailand, beginning of April.
I'm talking to my mum!
The important thing is, he went.
I'm just thinking when it was.
Yeah.
But that, it doesn't make sense. So, yeah, beginning of April, I went away, and, I haven't touched anything since, but I did have a long detox. And I picked up my 6 months last week, and it feels good. I did a chair today, which is, if you don't know, it's where you tell your story to people in a meeting. And, you know, I'm passing the message on that it is possible, you know.
So, okay, I can speak freely now, because you've now outed yourself as going to meetings. And I talk about how I go to meetings and stuff, and we have bumped into each other in meetings from time to time. Is this the longest...
Yeah.
You've been clean?
Yeah.
Oh, mate,
everything.
I'm so pleased.
Yeah, because, you know, I've had a time where, you know, I was still, like, you know, dabbling with some painkillers or dabbling with a joint or dabbling with maybe, you know, a beer here and there, but this is absolutely everything. Gambling, I haven't gambled in over a year.
Wow, mate.
I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. I don't take anything mind-altering at all. So it's massive. It's a really big deal for me, and I'm proud of it, and I'm proud to admit it.
Yeah.
That it's taken me 15 years in and out of treatment centres, in and out of NACA, AA, which is, you know, the Fellowship of Recovery of, you know, where we go to get well. And this time I'm doing it properly. I'm working the 12 steps, if anyone understands what that is. You know, I'm an advocate for Nutritious Minds, where I'm their trust ambassador.
Nutritious Minds?
Nutritious Minds is a charity that's basically about it covers a lot of ADHD stuff. So I was diagnosed ADHD earlier on in the year.
Right, okay, I didn't realise.
Yeah, it makes sense, to be honest.
Does it? Did I've it kind of line down up a few lot. Dots?
Yeah, because there was so much, because I think I had so much going on in my head all the time that when I got stress from, like, not being able to concentrate on one thing, then that stress led me to kind of being, you know, wanting to numb that pain, yeah. that stress. When I'm stressed, I'm like, hate it. So, well, I need a beer, or I need a joint, or I need a line, or I need something just to take away this yeah. bloody stress. And to be honest, it was because I suffered with this ADHD all my life, which I didn't really know. But you can only be diagnosed with it once you're actually completely, like, 3 months completely clean and sober. And now, over 6 months, I'm, you know, so much more aware of that, and I have certain things that I do to manage it. You know, and a lot to, meditation's a lot to do with that, and a lot of mindfulness stuff. And
the difference in you is incredible, right? Because I've been going to meetings for 16 years, and I saw you, you know, back in the day, 10 odd years ago, I'd see you, and it was always a delight to see you. But I would I'd read stories that you were seeing news, all these horrible stories that some people seem to take great pleasure in.
Yeah.
And I'd always just look at you and go, wow, man, come on, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to do this. And, so seeing you now, and we bumped into each other a couple of times recently, and it's lovely. Seeing you now, the difference is phenomenal. I love your little WhatsApp messages every day. Get a little uplifting.
Yeah,
WhatsApp,
I mean,
message.
Yeah, someone, my mate, my best mate, Johnny, who I do my podcast with, he said to me, he goes to me, Paul, man, like, someone said to me the other day, like, is your mate, like, trying to be a bit like Russell Brand at the moment? Or not trying to be, but, like, is he becoming a bit like that way?
Yeah.
And he was like, you got to stop all this self-help stuff. And I'm like, well, but to be honest, why, if it's actually helping me and other people? And he's just like, well, because, what's his name? Denzel Washington says, like...
Stop texting them.
You don't speak it. You don't need to air it for people to know it, that you're doing it, like, type stuff.
No.
But, like, at the end of the day, no, but that's Johnny's way. He's quite strict with me, and that he's like, you don't need to show, you tell everyone, like, you can just, in other words, people will know if they'll know. But, like, my way is just like, you know what, if I can put a little message up that's a bit of a kind of, come on, guys, we can do this, even if you're low, help someone, you know, you do an esteemable act that gives you self-esteem, you know, even if you're feeling a bit rubbish, go and help someone else, and it might really help you in turn, you know, and stuff like that. And I think, you know, the more I pass a message on, or the more I kind of go, look, I still struggle every day, I think about, you know, it's, remember, 20 years 25 years of having something to take me away from me, you know, it's not just going to go away in 6-7 months. But the good thing is today I don't need to act on those thoughts. You know, I can think, oh yeah, it'd be nice to have a beer right now because he's having one, or wow, I could just smell that lovely weed. But at the end of the day, that's going to take me back down to the bottom again.
Can't you smell weed everywhere now?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, man.
Everywhere.
And it's just constantly.
Yeah. You know.
Just,
I would use it, if I smelled it, I would follow that smell and go up to the person and go, all right, man, how you doing? Because I think it's a real hippie thing to share a J.
Yeah.
You know, now I just ignore it. I do, because I've got that time under my belt where I can kind of go, do you know what? It's just, it is what, that's life, man. I can't shy away from life.
I'm smiling because I'm so happy to see this.
It's real truth what I'm saying tonight. Like, there is no BS at all in what I'm saying. Like, it's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
You know, and
But this thing is that we have a daily reprieve from this, right? We'll go into the language a bit, but because I had 13 years and I did the jungle, and I came back and I picked up, the week after I got back, I picked up a drug I'd never used before, and I dived in again, for 3 months.
And it's so good you admit that.
Yeah. Well, the day after, I told Catherine, I phoned up some people in recovery that I hadn't spoken to for ages and said, I've done something terrible.
Mm.
And thank God it was only 3 months of using again, because some people never come back.
I mean, I don't think I'd come back. I think I'd die if I went and used again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big statement to make on radio, but I do. I think if I used, because of the guilt and the shame and everything, or I would just get straight back in recovery the day after. But it's not that easy. Who knows? Why would I take that risk?
Yeah. And also the resentment, I mean, I'm like 20 months. When I picked up my 18-month keyring a couple of months ago.
Well done, mate.
It was the same day I should have, in my head, been picking up 15 years. Yeah. And there's that real...
But you can't hang on to that.
Exactly.
Because that will just do you nothing.
But it just shows...
Because it's just a day. It's a day at a time.
Yeah.
Even if someone that's listening has got one day or a week, that's amazing. Because I couldn't get an hour.
Yeah. So good to see you healthy. And you're doing it through meetings.
I'm doing it through the 12 steps, through meetings, through reaching out, and through basically, you know, through my, through God.
And we have a lot of people.
I don't want to be too God, but it's not me that's doing this stuff. It's God. It's what I choose to call it God. You know, I choose to pray and to believe in something bigger than me.
And some people, I got scared by the whole God thing. For me, the God is God with a small g.
Yeah.
So different for everyone.
Yeah.
It's a higher power. For me, it's the universe, it's the sun, it's my kittens, it's my boys' laughter. Yeah. It's that.
It's somewhere to hand it over, isn't it? It's hope and trust and a bit of faith as well.
We have a lot of people listening who have got addiction issues.
Really?
We get a lot of calls, and we've had some great, you know, Alistair, we've been talking about a lot, and if you're listening, Alistair, I hope you don't mind me using your name again, but we've had a lot of people who have, you know, phoned us up sounding hopeless and helpless.
Wow.
Alistair's got his 6-month key ring the other day.
Nice.
Exactly, man. And so we have a lot of people listening. You know, we go on until 1 o'clock on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So there's a lot of people out there listening who are lost in whatever that
may
be. So hearing a success story like yours, and we don't need, I didn't even need to hear the war stories because we know what it is. So, but hearing the success story and me, you know, saying that there is an obvious change in you is going to be inspirational.
Absolutely.
To some people.
But you know, there's only a success story because I've now put in this 100% work into my recovery, like I put 100% work into using my drink and drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I put in a lot of effort to get that gear. You know what I mean? I had to, and to go to the doctors and manipulate them for this or for that, or to go to this dealer or that dealer, or to raise money or to borrow money or to steal money or whatever.
It's hard work.
Yeah, it was hard work. So why can't I do that for my recovery, to live, to have my little boy happy to see me every day, to have my parents proud of me again, for my friends to trust me, for work to give me work, for my career to blossom again. All that good stuff is only because I'm taking it seriously. I'm not just doing it Paul's way.
Darkness falls across the land. It's 10 o'clock, says the little hand. The ordinary folk will turn out the light, happy to go gently into that good night. Not so the night people, funky but neat. For them, the hour is deliciously sweet. Kick off your slippers, don't go to bed. The party's just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. Set free your mind, let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight. It's electric, it's eclectic, it's all always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee. Get all filler, no filler night dog. That's like nothing else on the radio. The late-night alternative with Ian Lee. Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Gotta say, what? I said this off air, you've got the most amazing eyes. Look at his eyes.
He's always had gorgeous baby blues.
Isn't it?
Look. We've all got blues in this room right now.
Yours are very, very special.
Yeah, but look at him now, they're all lit up, right?
Yeah, I think so, and it's funny because you've seen me, you know, and you have, and I don't see myself, you know, but others see me, you know, and it's funny when you don't realise, you're so oblivious to actually what people are seeing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm getting away with it. Yeah, it's fine. They don't know. Because my eyes aren't red. Well, they're dead. The thing. It's
The sparkle wouldn't
be there. And it's how you come across. There's a difference. Yeah. There is a difference.
It's
and it's amazing. And I used to feel fearful about talking about where I was at because I didn't want to put pressure on myself or outing myself of the amount of time because I think, oh no, now it's too much pressure on me if I do mess up.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's like, I'm not scared of that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I do believe if I carry on doing what I'm doing, what I did today, hopefully it'll be the same as tomorrow and I'll go to bed still clean.
Wicked. It's a brilliant message. We're going to take a little break. We're going to speak to Pete and then we're going to talk about your Instagram and anything else that you want to sell. We're coming up to the point. You've earned it.
Listen.
This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Pete.
Sorry, Paul.
Who is this?
This is my name is Ian. And this is Ian for 6 months, he says. I'm not sure I believe him. I'm Ian.
No, who are we speaking to?
It's Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hello, gang. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. He thought your name was B for some reason.
Could it be B just for tonight?
Hello, B. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm speaking on behalf of Pete, the official apprentice correspondent.
Pete, we have correspondents that give us updates on stuff. Brilliant. And Pete is the apprentice correspondent.
With no spoilers.
Oh, hang on a second. Right, so we need to... Hang on a minute, guys. We just need to do this. It's time now for the apprentice correspondent update with...
Pete.
That's...
Pete.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask Paul, first of all, about Kartik.
Oh, okay.
What's Kartik?
No, it's actually Kartik, but it doesn't matter. Because he found it. Oh, let's not even go there with this one, actually. But yeah, what about him? Where is he? Because he was the apprentice, wasn't he? Yeah.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
When I was on the phone waiting, I quickly Googled Paul Dinan apprentice, see if you'd been in the celebrity one. And you hadn't, but you'd met Kartik, who was in a couple of years ago on the civilian one.
Oh. Yes.
That was all. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you.
Lovely guy. Really kind soul, actually. I really liked him a lot. I was on Celebrity Big Brother with him.
The Apprentice. Uh-huh. Of course you were. Thank you. The Apprentice is another one of those shows. I had to do an interview. I did an interview today, and we got on about how a reality TV show and how it can mess you up and stuff. And I said, you know, the jungle really screwed me up, and the aftercare was not great. Mm. I got a phone call from their psych saying, do you want to come in for a meeting? I went, no, I'm all right. Fine. And then I went off and scored some crystal, you know. So it doesn't work. But the people on things like Love Island, The Apprentice, I guess, to a certain extent, but not quite the same, but Love Island, I kind of knew what to expect because I've been on telly on and off for 20 years. The kids on Love Island, they don't know. So suddenly they're on one of the biggest shows in the world. And for 4, 5, 6 months afterwards, they're incredibly famous. Mm. And it will go to their heads.
It's huge.
You get treated like royalty. You've got a big old check, I'm guessing. But you don't keep earning that same amount of money.
Well, I don't think they get money to go on it. I think what happens is they get the money from the endorsements afterwards. And they get a little wage for missing work.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, the amount of people they put on this normal Love Island, it's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, only a certain cast stay the whole duration. Mm. But overall, there's probably a good 30... people, with girls and boys together go on it. So some of them really stand out and some of them don't. With us, there was only 10 of us.
Mm.
And, you know, we were used to, as you say, like you were being on the telly and this, that and the other. We'd had careers or did still have careers, actors, musicians, this, that and the other. But with these guys, they're just picked because they got good abs.
They've got a lot of asses.
Really lovely lips and just excellent hair.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, and then suddenly you're right, you know, but the difference, I mean, 4 years on Hollyoaks for me, I didn't even get a quarter of the amount of fame as I got on 6 weeks or 8 weeks from Love Island.
Oh, I bet.
It was mental the amount of attention you get from a reality show compared to working your four years every day on a soap opera as a main character, 6, 8 weeks on an island. It's like, I can't tell you. So poor them who have not been used to this height of fame, and unfortunately for them, the following year comes, they're forgotten about.
Yeah, because they're taught how to play the game. I think some of them do get some guidance. It's about getting those magazine deals, get yourself paired off, know how to play the game. But the thing is, the game starts again the next year without you.
It does. But they can't all be on X Factor and actually, you know, sing half well. Like, you know, like that Love Island group. Lucky them, at least they got to do something.
I couldn't watch Love Island, The Jungle last year, the year after I did it, and I felt jealous.
Jealous.
And the new one coming up, I still feel jealous and think, well, I'm missing out.
Yeah.
And the fame.
Did you want the extra camp?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let me on as a guest.
Honesty.
I would like, I wanted it.
Yeah.
And I even got in touch with them last year and said, can I come on as a guest? They went, well, thanks very much, but no.
Wow.
So I'm not even, but the fame, and I'd never experienced anything like it. I remember I got back and at the airport in Heathrow, you've got 10-year-olds asking you for selfies.
Yeah.
And the first time I went out, I took my boys to a pantomime at the Hexagon in Reading. Mm. And we got there just as a school party turned up. 190 kids. I know, because I had to have a selfie with each one separately. One kid turned around. I'd be back in the country 2 days and went, oh my God, it's Ian from the jungle.
Yeah.
And these kids started screaming and walking towards me en masse. Yeah. And I didn't know what to do.
But never this is it. They like knew it. You just by your first name.
First name.
It wasn't even Ian Lee. It wasn't Paul Dunham. It was Paul or Ian.
Yeah.
It was just, you'd say that name and everyone would know who you meant.
Yeah.
So my mum was going, he didn't even have to say your surname.
And then 6 months later, it's gone. And I remember suddenly walking out and my son, youngest, saying, do you think people will ask you for selfies today?
Don't.
I said, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Painful.
It just doesn't happen. And however much you want to go, oh, I'm so glad it's back to normal, your ego, you think, well, what have I done? Why don't they love me anymore? It messes up with your
head. It does, but we choose to do it.
Yes. Oh, and it paid very well. I got a nice check.
And look where you are today, man. You've got your own show.
Exactly.
Like, come on, this is big Catherine. Time.
See, I feel a bit guilty about...
I really
about
like Catherine.
Oh, thanks, I do.
You've been with her for 50 minutes, Paul.
She's really...
That jungle thing, I feel guilty about it, that I suggested it might be all right for you to do it. I feel bad. I feel bad.
No,
as a BFF, you feel bad.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was bloody torture for me to watch, so I can only imagine how bad it was to be in there.
Oh, it was horrendous.
And then all the fallout afterwards.
It was horrendous. I wouldn't have that house or those five cats if I didn't do it, so it's worth it.
But you came across so fine on it.
Yeah. I was just in there with arseholes.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't in as great a place as I said I was. I'd never lived my life under such scrutiny. I've always been very private. Sure. And suddenly I come out and I find that the press have been knocking on my mother-in-law's door. I've never had that.
Oh, they do all that. They do all that. With that, you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, and my agent had to kind of tell some lies to protect my kids. It's Anyway, Pete, could you hurry up, please, mate? You're really dragging this call out, buddy.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's Pete's doing it.
It's my longest update ever, I'm sorry. But there's a lot of news this week. I mean, someone who is apparently eyeing up being one of the arseholes in the jungle next year is Lottie Lyon.
Oh, because that's how it works. You do The Apprentice and go, I think I'd like to be in the jungle next year.
I bet she is.
Well... Oh. I mean, apparently she's backing a campaign to get her in the jungle. So what that means is, someone tweeted, wouldn't it be great if Lottie Lyon went in the jungle next year? And she probably went,
mate, people have been backing me to go back in Hollyoaks for 20 years. It's still not happened.
Did you fall out with the Hollyoaks people?
No.
If you don't mind me asking.
I just left. I just wanted to go to America and become a movie star.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Well, I'm watching. I'm having a triple bill. Did you? Is that what happened?
Yeah,
you went to the States?
I thought, you know, I don't want to be stereotyped. Been there 4 years, and I just thought, what more can happen to this
character?
Do you
regret leaving?
You know what? I don't regret leaving, but I do have that, as you say, that little bit of whether it's resentment or jealousy or envy that they've never actually asked me to come back and do a little stint.
This is the
because thing. They've asked everyone else. Yeah. Now, I know I had my problems with addiction and stuff like that, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was a blooming big character. Soul was huge, and people would love to see him again, and I just feel like it's a shame they've never asked me.
Yeah. Have you approached them?
I mean, years ago, I think we had conversations and they said, when there's a storyline, it'll be great.
Right.
Of course, we would let him know. I'm actually in Spain after murdering this pimp. So I come back a little bit bronze and possibly go to prison, but... Et ça va.
Pete, thank you very much.
Pete, now, love you.
Your please don't give them ideas. Your Instagram...
Yes. So, I thought we could talk about it a little bit because, you know, at the end of the day, people go, is it you? Is it not you? You know, it's the nanogram.
Great already. It's insane. It's the most insane Instagram feed I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
The biggest Instagram account on Instagram, even though, it's followed by such high up A-listers. It's hilarious. If you're in your 30s to 40s to 50s, and you knew about China Whites and back in the day and celebrities from back then, the captions are amazing. The writing's phenomenal. It's the detail is just out of this world.
It's
me and a couple of other guys and we write it together and we post it. I do a post once every few weeks or every 3 weeks or so. And it takes real effort, real comedy. It's a parody account and there's big things happening from it, you know, like i.e you know, a big TV show coming up, a huge podcast, etc. And it's just, you know what, I'm in that place where I can take the pee a bit of myself. And it refers to drugs, it refers to drinking, it refers to sex, it refers to naughty stuff. But you know what, it's all parody. It's all just kind of like having a laugh. And there's a lot of boy bands in it. You know, and it's our era, Ian. You know, it's back in the day, and it's the old days. And you know what? That's really kind of, you know, people want to remember those days, and people want to go, do you know what? I remember that, and that's so funny. It's Jordan without any plastic surgery.
Yeah.
You know, it's Peter Andre when, you know, he was,
a talented singer,
mysterious girl and stuff. It's the whole Blue Boys. It's Abs from Five killing it. You know, it's Dane Bowers.
It's a lovely shot of Shane Ritchie here. I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Yeah, and you know, Darren Day is our guru in it. Yeah. You know, we love Darren Day. Uncle Mickles is Mick Hucknall. You know, we call him Uncle Mickles.
Tickles. Did you just say Mick Hucknall?
Mick Hucknall.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, it's Simply Red.
Yeah, I know that fella, yeah.
So, you know, if you want Tickles from Uncle Mickles, you know, and Anthea Gurner.
Jeez.
Anthea Turner.
I get it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I got it.
And you know, and it just goes on, and it's phenomenal, and I like the reactions. But within a year, we've got nearly 100,000 followers. Wow. We get over 15,000 likes. Yeah. I mean, people just love it.
A picture of Abs from Five.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff. Callum Best loves it. Bless you, old Callum.
He always used to say, you can't get an STD if you don't get tested. Hashtag rotter.
And did you said you're doing a podcast as well?
Yeah, what is that? Called Dan and the Morning After. It's basically, it was number one in the iTunes charts.
I'm going to subscribe now.
It's hilarious if you want to hear about the old days and some really funny stories.
And so what is it? Is it true stories?
True stories, 100% true. And you know, my mate Johnny really busts me because he just says what I was like back then and what I'm, you know.
Did he know you back in the day?
Oh yeah, I've known him since I was three. So it's me and my best mate. My brother comes on here and Ben Ofaidu from Fats and Small comes on here and Sam Delaney comes on here and, you know, and I've had like lots
banned
of...
Banned by the mayor of Preston.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Did you get banned by the mayor of Preston?
For doing panto, because I swore.
Yeah, I remember that.
Christmas lights.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know,
You're gonna write a book. You don't even need to write a book.
I mean, that is another thing that's being written at the moment. It's called Too Much, Too Young.
Right.
And I can't wait for it to come out.
We're out of time.
Yeah, I love you. You are invited. Thanks for having me on.
Shut up for a second, please. For God's sakes, a whole hour. Come back any time you want, man. Honestly. And I know it took us a few weeks to sort this out, and then we had to stop because there was a bloody politics, and we got taken off the air and all that rubbish. You've got an open invitation any time you want to...
Sorry?
You can talk now.
I was going to say, so that was true?
Did you think that I was just blowing you up?
I just thought maybe you were busy.
No!
We're never busy.
There's nothing really serious.
Maybe you weren't sure.
Well, this is the show, right? If there's a serious
political...
Oh, God, you thought I was just
blindly... But that's my insecurity, isn't it? That's my self-esteem.
Well, no, I understand. No, I would say, if there's like a heavy news story, me and Kath get taken off.
You did video call me, so you were like... It wasn't like you were trying to hide anything.
No, I felt really bad, but we don't find out until about 3 p.m. That's why I'm texting you, and I'm phoning you, and I'm emailing. We got you in, and now you know it's legit.
It was legit. Damn old politics. Roger.
Please be quiet. We will be back in a bit. 03444991000. Thank you so much, Paul Dunan. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Love you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Catherine is now wearing a TENS machine on her back. I've taken it off my nipples after people said that having it so near my heart might be dangerous because I've got such a big heart. I didn't want to explode the TENS machine. So we're gonna turn it on in a bit. But Kath is so against.
I was going to stick it on my buttocks and then thought I wouldn't be able to feel it.
Yeah, I don't think we got enough pads.
You got a cute ass, baby. Your ass is...
Can I say that? No, I can't say my female colleague's got a cute ass. No. Wow, what is going wrong with this world? I spent 4 years at the BBC. I should be able to say anything I want about your body and touch it. I'm joking. This is a satire, guys. That's satire. That is satire. It's not a joke, it's satire. Good evening,
Becky. He also knows that you would get a karate chop to the pipe.
Good evening, Becky.
Hello.
Hello, Becky. What have you got for us tonight, please?
I was listening yesterday to your radio show about how Saturday was an awful gig event for you.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. Yes, man.
Yeah, I've tried to phone in yesterday, but the phone line for me was awful, so obviously I'm trying today.
Yes, and you succeeded.
I was about 18, 19 at the time, and I was doing a quiz night. My parents often, like, went to the pub, local pub, to do, like, quiz night.
Boozes, yes.
And it was their turn to host it, so I thought, you know, I've hosted one before, so I thought, second time.
Oh, mate, I've hosted pub quizzes. Man alive, they are dangerous situations to be in.
Yeah, I realised that the second time. The first time that I did it was actually went really well.
Yeah.
I was wearing a fez and everything.
Fez and everything, you say. Gosh, you had the full, you shared the proper pub quiz master uniform on. Well done.
Second time I did it, though, I got heckled. And needless to say, first time I've ever got heckled in my life.
Yeah.
First time a stranger's ever called me, I won't repeat the name, but ever called me a name.
Dave.
So, yeah, it was worse than Dave.
Colin.
Steve.
Steve. Oi, Steve!
So, yeah, I got heckled and mate. I couldn't take it. I had a meltdown and I just had to leave the place.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It's a terrible feeling standing there with a microphone and suddenly someone, you know, throws a stone that shatters the window between you and the audience and suddenly you're exposed, man.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you just, like, literally just drop the mic and run off, or did you manage to stumble to the end?
No, I just ran off. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Well, let's find that guy, because it will be a guy. Let's find that guy.
Oh, it's been ages ago now.
Doesn't matter. Well, that means he won't be expecting it. He won't be expecting it. We find him and we batter him to death with a quiz book. I'm up for that.
Oh, we could just ask him some really hard questions. Like, why are you such a knobhead?
In his pants at his old school.
While attaching electrodes.
Or ask him, when has he last seen a 9-volt battery?
Yeah. Well, now, Becky, welcome. You're the first contestant of our show. So I have got a TENS machine here, and Catherine has got a TENS machine there. Now, you get to choose. First of all, Catherine, zap yourself, just to prove it works. But don't, because it goes up to 8, so you've got to go all the way up to 8.
No, I'm not doing all the way up to 8.
Got to 6.
Nope.
Yeah.
I go up to wherever I want.
Well, no, but you'll just go up to 1 and go, oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts.
I'm going to do it. Shush.
Ha! Hardly touched it. Didn't touch it. Lie, you lying.
No, it was real.
Right. Give me the box. You took mine.
No.
Give me the box.
No.
Give me the,
no.
Give
no.
me the
no.
box.
No, not happening.
Give me the no. box. Give me the box.
No.
Give Mark the box.
No.
Give Mark the box. No. Mark can touch my box.
You can say whatever you want. It's not happening. I'm controlling my
you're
own box.
You're just going, well, then it doesn't count because you're just going
on
to...
Oh, stop playing then.
No, no, no. Keep it on. Keep it on.
Well, then it's got to be my rules.
But your rules are you just put it onto, like, little baby too.
Well.
All right. Becky, you get to decide who gets zapped and for... Did we do the 22 break? We did. You get to decide who gets zapped... And for how many seconds? Up to 3 seconds. Oh, so you get 1, 2, or 3 seconds, okay? So you can choose Catherine. For example, you could choose Catherine gets zapped for 3 seconds.
Oh.
Is that your answer?
Hey, you're leading the witness.
I'm not feeding the witness, although they should feed witnesses because it's a really long day.
You're badgering her.
I am not. I'm hectoring her, if anything. And that's not against the rules. So, Becky, 3 seconds for Catherine, yes?
No.
2 seconds for Catherine.
No.
Go on then, let's hear your stats.
2 for you.
Ha!
You're a dick. Okay, I'll do it.
3! 3 for that. Add an extra one.
Get stuff. You can't get involved. Right, so I'm going to do it, okay? I'm going, so it's just clicked on, but it's not buzzing yet. I'm going, you've got to count the seconds. Okay.
1, 2, 3.
There we go. 3. Done. You see, it's done. Simple. Simple as. Thank you very much, Becky. Do you feel, did you get a kick out of that, Bex?
Not really, because I'm not a sadist.
Oh, but if I did it to Catherine, that would make you a masochist. Would you get a kick out of that?
How would that make me?
Okay, don't question, don't question stuff. Manny, who would you like to zap and for how long, please?
You.
I'll get stuffed. All right, I'll do it because I'm a fun guy. How long?
They couldn't hear you doing it last time.
3 seconds.
3 seconds, you really? Absolute. We got you a job.
One.
Hang on, I'm not doing it. Here we go. Hang on, I'm doing it.
One.
Here, shut up. Stop saying one, one, one.
He's not started yet.
Here we go. Ready, steady, go.
One, two.
Don't say
fuck up.
You absolute twonk. Makes me feel alive. It's.
Where have you attached those electrodes?
My bollocks. I'm going to stop swearing on the show. My testes. No, it's on my back. It's on the base of my spine. Feel alive! If you want to phone up and zap Catherine for 3 seconds, 0344 499 1000. Manny!
It has to be 3 seconds, or me.
Manny!
Oh, yes.
What can we do for Manny?
I was just listening to Chris.
Yes?
Oh, God. Yeah. What can I say? That was me, that was. When I first lost my sight. But he won't have any family or people around him. He only wants to go to the places with his cane where he has been when he could see. So he's got the map, if you understand it, he's got the map in his head, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
That's what I intend to do. I only go to places where I can... It's in your head. People are friendly, you know. You can. There's a lot of things you can do here, and there's a lot of things. I know it wrecks you, but I was on a bottle for maybe 4 months. If you remember, I used to phone you up in the morning.
I do remember.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. You came very close to killing yourself several times.
Yeah.
Drinking, sitting in the park with a blade.
Yeah, with a blade, yeah. That was only last year, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But... Manny has been calling me on and off for, I guess, maybe 6-7 years when I was at another radio station.
That's
right. And, you got really low, and we were all very upset and worried when last year when you told us you'd been sat in a park getting drunk and with a knife and you were going to end it all. But you have put in a lot of work in the last, I don't know, 12 months, 18 months. I can't quite remember how long. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've turned stuff around completely, right?
The only thing that you're missing is, like, when my daughter's not graduated, you want to be able to see. If you know what I mean, you're there, but you won't be able to see. Then my daughter got married this year. You want to see, you're there, but you can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that really puts you down. I didn't let it put me down. You know, what can you do? You can't do nothing about it.
There's okay, then. But then how do you
helping yourself?
Well, okay then. I'm gonna challenge you, because so many of the calls that Kath and I took from you were you kind of saying, well, what's the point? What is the point in all of this? There's no point in me carrying on. And now you're saying, well, my daughter got married, and you know, there was I enjoyed it to the best of my ability. What was the point of getting sad? So what was the switch for you? How did you flick that from the there's no point in carrying on to, well, there's no point in being miserable?
One, you helped me quite a bit, and then family sat me down and said, well, there's nothing you can do about this. There's nothing. You know what I mean? You can't, unless it's a miracle, there's nothing. Then I sat down, thought, and then I started going out, got a cane, started going out, but I only went to the places that was in my head, if you know what I mean. So I went to town. I knew where I was going, which way to go. If I got lost, I asked somebody. And 99% of the time, people put you in the right direction. I even took you to the shop that you wanted to go. I've got the thing on my phone.
Hang on a minute. Are you saying that 1% of the time people will lie to a blind man and
they
send
will,
you in the wrong direction? No.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God.
They will.
Mate. That is out of order. Whoever's doing that, stop giving blind people wrong directions.
There's some people about that. But you ignore them.
I mean, Kath are laughing, but only because it's so terrible.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.